Accession number 20587, Reel 4.
So Tom O'Brien, Reel 4. Okay. So you went to the cinema in Felixstowe, okay, and you saw the film.
Night by then. Errol Flynn was in it there. Gentleman Jim. Jim Corbett. I tried to think, oh, Alan Hale was the other one. He was in it. I remember him. And we come back. We had to tell the tale to the boys then, of course. And we used to have our own little sing-song in the room there that night. We were quite good at harmonising. A couple of us, a couple of Cockneys. And only a bird in a golden cage, you know, all them sort of songs, you know. We were good. We had to be up at daybreak, of course. Daybreak then, in April, there was a frost about in the morning. And going out the front was very, very cold. It was. Because we used to have a line-up of food in there on the front. They took over these big places, I suppose they were, in Felixstowe in those days. And all lined up outside with the mess tin. And that was breakfast.
So what was the exercise like then? They were landing.
Oh, they were learning how to land off Liberty ships or ordinary ships, like from ropes and landing into other. And then you had beach landings, like, you know, off the LSTs and things like that, you know, LCTs. We went on LST. And, that's what it was about. And then when we went back to camp, it wasn't long before, well, it was, must have been April to May, it was at that time, yeah.
Was the exercise a success? Did all?
Oh, as far as I know, we was more or less nondescript. I mean, we don't know anything. You just do what they tell you. You just follow the rules, obey the rules. Yeah. It's easy to get along if you stick to the rules. Some people make this up awkward and they're stupid anyway, because you're spending time in there. It's just like being involved with the police in it now and things like that. I'm touch wood, I've never been there. I don't quite know about that. I don't want to be bothered. I don't like giving money to solicitors or anything like that. It's not my scene. You'll be broke if you waited for me. I don't care much.
So let's go back to when you actually got called.
When we got back, I expect it was April, May. Oh, it was May, must have been then, of course it was. And nice time of the year. Everything was smelling nice and beautiful. You walk through the fields, because if you went from your house, like wherever it was, or the estate, rather, you'd walk the road, more or less. You'd run the road, you'd walk through. You'd walk through the cherry orchards and that. And in the evening, it was a different world, you weren't used to. Apples, something like that.
You ate plenty of fruit then?
Huh?
You ate plenty of fruit?
Well, we had to share a bit, we did, I think. Yeah, but I said I remember sending home nuts, you know? Send home nuts. You've never seen so many nuts. You could shovel them up. Wonderful.
So when did you get the message that you were going to...
Oh, well, the invasion started before that.
So you heard about that, did you?
Well, didn't you? We was underneath it, more or less. It was all noise when it couldn't planes and like that. We knew. Well, you do get to know these things, like surprising, they're all exercising. Everybody's ready, but who was going? Not really. Nobody knew who was really going until they start loading and things like that. You go through all the same procedures, every plenty of diapers. But the night the invasion started, there's one rumble, planes, tone, yeah, gliders. I could tell the minute it started, said in our tinet, let it go. They said he's missed it all. I mean, we knew. Because everybody, at that time, it was didn't consider it a big deal. You see, you talk about D-Day and all that today now, and the veterans, but at the time, you didn't consider it as a big deal. It was just something which was doing, and he was all glad. Glad to see more or less something happening at last, because that's what we're supposed to be waiting for now. We were always going on over the shop, you know, but this seemed to be the important part about it, because it was in Europe, and it was, you know, more or less where the enemy was stationed. Although you had brothers in Burma and all those sort of places, you know, they seemed so remote. The Middle East, we used to be worried about, because it was so late when you meet the boys coming home from the Middle East and that. You know, you meet them in Sittingbourne, come, they were preparing, they did dibs and that thing. And you felt a bit jealous, more or less, and then they had the, you know, desert rats and all that. God, you missed it. You know, no, everybody was took it for granted.
So you didn't
think it was anything special, not at the time.
So you got a message to get ready, did you?
Oh, before we went to what they call the transit camp, we went to East Ham, actually, down in the middle. Of course, they decided to start at Bootlebug, didn't they? I think it was about the 17th or something, I'm not sure, about the 12th.
So you drove your lorry.
I saw the first one of them coming over. Reported it as a funny sort of plane with a flame flying out of the back of it, and then cut out. But you get used to these sort of doodle bugs, and the V2s weren't in, because they came later on. They did. It was my daughter.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a broadcast, yeah?
So you've driven your own ambulance, had you, to London?
Was that there?
You drove your own ambulance.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't have driven. The breakdown wagon.
So you drove that up to London.
Oh, yes, yeah. We had a right of way through Blackwell Tunnel and that thing. You know, bursting flat out all the way. Mm-hmm. And we went to the camp then, into tents. Mm-hmm. And
that was at East Ham, was it?
Huh?
That was at East Ham, was it? The tents?
That was
in the camp. The tents.
Oh, it was a camp. You know, you had we were bell tents we was in, and they had, he was out in the open waiting. I think we didn't know what day we were going to go, like, you know, but East Ham it was anyway, just, and they had barbed wire around it, you weren't supposed to go out and that, you know, you're confined to, local boys got out to throw the cockneys and that, then they got out of anything, they would flip home and back for them, and nobody say anything, you'll find a way out. And very often, it's the same on the station, they shut their eyes if you jumped over the barrier or something like that. You know, they were wise what was going on, they knew what was going on. And it was quite what it got, because they'd be pairing and make sure everything was de-waterproof before whatever. Then we started having orders then. I don't know, but Saturday or a Sunday we went. I was in an advance party a bit, and I was going to drive the store wagon. I was going to drive up, and our officer said to me, "Well, Major Andrews, is you driving, Major?" I'm driving, Major. He said, "He's asked for you." Oh, I said, "I don't even know him."
So what vehicle were you driving him in?
Bedford, the stores van, and. Going up to, I think, one of the India docks it was. We had a card with number 30 on or something like that. That's the name of the landing ship. LST it was, anyway. And the people who were throwing fags and doing things like that, you know, the cockpit was good.
So they watched you go, did they?
Oh, well, you see, they knows where you're going. They're not dull, are they? It's on a Saturday, I think it was Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. At the pubs and the... doing a bit of a knees up on the side of the Thames, you know. Maybe we went down the Thames. Of course, in those days, was it dark? It was clinking and clanking in. They got the barriers, or what they used to call them, barrage, isn't it, more or less. You know, opening this and clinking. You know, we were going to cut down the channel to see if something on fire. Something. We passed the Isle of Wight and that, and then... You know where we were going.
So what sort of ship Gold were Beach. You on?
Huh?
What sort of ship were you on?
LST. Landing ship. Right. The front, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drove off in about 3 foot of water this evening.
You went over in the night?
Yes, sir.
What time did you land?
About 7-ish.
Okay. What did you see when you saw the coast of France?
Seen these white houses, like the season pictures. Double white house and the coast of Berger. And the gentleman came up alongside the front when he opened it. Good morning. I was the first off of Berger. Because they had a track, D11 or something like that, you know, and you drive up the beach and up onto this common ground. Like, but I went back there once. I didn't recognize it. Can't recognize it. You see the picture of this? That's the first thing I remember. To the left, see there it is, near Arromanches. We never touched Arromanches really, because that's down on the right. That's where they built the port and that, but we were up on to the left of that.
Was there a lot of fortifications on the beach or barbed wire?
No, well, you're too busy in what you're around doing. You're concentrating and getting up. You've got to drive over this and up this. They had this opening cut away, like, you know, to. You would concentrate to get up there. There was duties to perform after then, sir.
Could you hear the fire?
Yes, well, there was all sorts of things going on. I mean, there was a rumble up. I mean, when you talk about Normandy, like I say, it's so confined, wasn't it? Like, see, it's like something else. The ground shakes. You know. I mean, the air was dominant, but not German planes, because they hardly saw German planes. The other two, Americans, British, Bombings.
So after you got off the beach, where did you go then?
Went to a little Sublet, Suble, and my first duty was to go on guard of some Chiatto 4th, which was my German platoon, and who was in the Chiatto, I don't know, it might have been Monty, might have been somebody else, might have been a div commander, or no. But he was picked from different units, because at the front, if you could say, more or less, like, you know, it's only a mile or two, but he wasn't in there, you know, and they hadn't gone in, like, say, so they pick up a different duties, like, say, in the main, but, well, you all had to muck in and do something all the time.
So what was it like?
We had to, first of all, when you, all fields, mostly, we never saw any towns or villages, we never saw Bayer, but I did see Bayer on the 29th of June, because we had an evening of all things, or the 27th it was, a couple of us, but otherwise it was just in cornfields, orchards. It's the first time you see mistletoe and bin, and old everywhere, ammo lying everywhere, mines, you get used to things again, you know, surprising, but it's not highly recommended.
What was this chateau like? Do you remember?
Huh?
What was this chateau like you guarded? Do you remember?
Oh, yes, well, just, the typical French chateau with it. Yeah.
Do you know what it was called?
No, I haven't got a clue.
Okay. So where did you...
We dug holes outside, a couple of us, and...
So how long were you
near
there?
Near Sublet it was, anyway, near whatever Sublet. It was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know then, yeah.
How long were you there?
Only one night duty.
And where did you go then?
Nobody came and attacked us, so we went down. Perhaps went about next field or the field after, or they only meet the field or the woods at the time. Never touched the main mansion. Make the sea like on it's quite warm at the time sometimes. And sometimes you're lucky, like, say, you jump in somebody else's hole or the German or whatever, or went left behind by the infantry boys, or no. Otherwise, you dig your own. Sometimes you're two and old, and sometimes you get bow.
What was it like living like that after all that time in training?
It's not, in a way, you don't notice it because we live in rough places. She's watching cowboys on the plane, now we say to them, every moon day, they live in a rough life. I don't think about it. Well, we live for weeks in the ground, you know, all in the ground. So, the dampest you had sometimes, and gas came on to keep it, especially if we had a drop of rain. We have a nice one evening, we had a nice ditch, you know, and we didn't do safe digging. Yeah, anyway, the other side of this ditch, apparently, there was a little, I suppose they called it a wadi, dry patch, you know. And in the night, we had a thunderstorm. And this wadi would have filled up and over the top. We'd all floated, because you carried everything about there, mind you. Had all your blanket, and space suit, or whatever it was.
Did you have special friends? Huh? Did you have special friends?
Oh, yeah, we were all friends. We all had nicknames, and we had the thickest thieves, actually. We'd jump at each other, we'd bloody, we'd dip or something, think of happening. He wasn't afraid to show what he got. One or two was a bit more, you know. I wasn't, I never used to try to it, but I was bloody nervous. I was conscious of the fact. I mean, you felt a bit of apprehension even when he was landing. A load had been going on for some days. You didn't know what's going to happen. Just one of those things. But it's all according now with the luck of the draw, isn't it? You've got to be lucky. Wherever he goes, some bowboys got top of the armour. They got done in, but even by your own planes, I mean, because the front was so small and confined that you had a job. Typhoon.
So you were moving each day?
I had a sad occasion there when, we moved nearly every day, 2 days especially normally, till we started to get shore. We should have been killed at shore, a couple of us, because...
what happened at shore?
Well, I was doing, ambulance had been, not ambulance, 15, the blood wagon, he called them. They had to, and... engine, when we got an engine for it, and with the engine was coming a box like off the boat, and we never had tackle like you got the day, like, you know. We had a bit of a jib, but it wouldn't come out far enough, you know. So we had to manhandle all these things, you know. Anyway, they wanted to, we was on the field, took the engine out, the sergeant major, the workers there, because it's an important wagon, you know, with the company, and next thing I know, there was a plane, I think F-109, I think it was. And he'd been strapping the guns, you know, behind. And we was in more or less in mortar range for there. And in this field up on the top, by shore it was, you know. Not too far from Everest, see. But he came. And round here, I looked up there, I could see the pilot. And he of course, we all instinctively would die. To board David, David had been shot. And he'd seen him lifting his fingers, he'd seen the correct glass. And he was away. But soon as you got all the people, brrr. Now there was a blended gentleman, whoever he was. And now I was reading about, there's only, when they showed it in Battle of Britain, only two planes players. I mean, he must have been one of them chaps. He was there, no real. He got shot, there were five of us, right away. No mess in the door. He was looking at him, we've seen his face. And I had a bruised knee. We finished that job in just over 3 hours. Unloading, and getting the blood, and getting away from there, and getting it back out on the road.
So you were being called out to be...
Oh, we were there. We were in touch with them at the time. We normally operated from the field ambulance, see? Mm-hmm. Or we stayed wherever it was, you stayed there. Mm-hmm. Right for the point, you've been in the same compound or the farm or so with the infantry, you know, just there with the unit, whatever unit your ambulance is with.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you have you had radios?
No, never had radios.
How did you get called then?
Donna's, didn't you? You had motorcycle dispatch riders, runners as they call it. No. As we say, got all these modern things today. They got helicopters and things there. Different world. Not so long ago, like, but that's the way it was. They had field phones, what it called, you know, there. Yeah. But that was only the officer in charge, I say. No, normally it was the with a company, though.
Did you have any idea as to where you were and which direction you were going?
Not really. Well, we did have a... Because they used to keep you in touch, like you are. I had a map, so I used to go to the jeep, or take a jeep out, something, whatever happened, you wouldn't after something the jeep, and you had your map, like, and then you had a plastic thing, and you'd line over a, you know, trace with the yellow. You knew map reading in any case, and it's so combined, you knew with the board village names. You forget that, or I don't remember half them. I can remember if I sit down and think about them a lot. But we never took all that much notice of them, not much point, really.
Did you meet any of the Canadians?
Canadian part, they were in, they were further down, see, they were in Middle Beach, one of Utah, the Juno, wasn't it? Juno, the French, and the, what it, and they were in the Poles, they were there. Bit further down then on Sword Beach. We met plenty of Canadians, in this country anyway, because they were stationed up around the Cotswolds when we were there, like, say. Funny enough, my my sister-in-law, her husband's sister married a Canadian, and they tried to contact him once when he was over there. Poison. I had met him, like, you know, he was with the Queen Elizabeth, Winnipeg Rifles, I think it was.
So, I mean, did you? What did you see of the action? I mean, you were following up the action, weren't you?
What did you see? I mean, you've seen some of the finest firework displays you've ever seen. Shooting, I've seen mine through there. It is.
Were you aware of any particular actions that you were close to?
Oh, yes, yeah. He was attached to them, wasn't he?
Like, which can you remember?
It was so confined, wasn't it? Normandy, there. Yeah.
Can you remember one for me?
Well, I remember one time I had to go into that was a blood wagon and all. The first, the ambulance, not the ambulance, good, but the field, all I suppose, is to. Advanced dressing station or the first aid posts, rather, with the tats of the HLA. And they would dug in, like, you know, and the cornfields, and they put notice when they were in enemy, you know, the enemy. Soon they get it, but it's the same as putting notices about foul ground, and when they say you're under observation, you're in the ground. So a gun about a mile before that. A gun had blown up in the pit and killed the whole crew. And that might, well, one of our first ones. And they were all lined up, tied up, with their boots sticking out. And the wagon had been hit. And there was there, they cut like a covering, like they tied the vehicle down into it, like, so. Our job was to replace it. And you had a gunner and you had a guide with you, like, see. And I remember one of the Scotch boys give me a smizer. But he said, for God's sake, don't shoot it around yet. I give it away to block it in the wreck, he go. I said, what's yourself though? I said, if you start firing it, I said, you know, everybody be firing back. I said, because you got to know the sound of guns. I did. Oh, God.
Yeah. Did you have much contact with the
wreck?
Did you have much contact with the wreck? And
so on. Oh, yes, yeah. You weren't touched, but you weren't. Yes, well, they were just the jeeps mostly, like, you know, at the time. Of course, it was in the columns. They were there. Who went with it? He went when he's part of the of an infantry brigade, you see, unless he was in HQ, like, but he was working with them and he was part of a unit alone. You were, and you had your grenades and your seats, you know, your And you've got to be prepared to do what you have to do. Later on, you have to.
So, are you aware of any of the villages that you went past? Or?
Sure. I can tell you. In the book, I'll tell you where HQ was. You see my meaning, see? But the names to us was nothing really, like I say, because we never one like been stationed in them, and they can't do so. You remember certain names, of course. Sure, I remember Shaw very well.
Did you see any?
Remember Eversey, because just before Eversey, we were all, we knew there was an attack coming in, whatever, and we were all down there. We only had one in. And they were coming over, I in Lancaster, isn't it? And they bombed this place. The place is pretty mine because I don't. They said it because when we were going to break out then, that was before Farley, because Farley was another world. Like. And that was just before. There was a pretty big tank battle just before that. And we were all out in the same bloody area, like, you know. But when they bombing the strength, the planes was coming over. And they were only just above your heads, like, see? So about, I think, about 700, I'm not sure. Because seeing planes in the sky, like, you can't imagine it today. Even when we was in England, especially on the East Coast, you'd see just one, especially the American daylight bombers. The sky was full. It's no good. Wherever you looked, this line, and they were all in perfect formation, going, coming back. Of course, a bit different, but marvellous. They will never be repeated, those sort of things, because it's a different world. Isn't it?
Can you remember the first German soldier you saw?
Yes, dead one. I'm afraid of that. I seen one massive German soldier, you know. A fine body of a man. Must have been about 6'4". And he was just slightly blued. He just he hadn't been long dead day before. He was lying in this huge, real jubilant up there.
What did you think?
I was prisoners of war. I would see, you know, get used to it, but that's the worst sight, like, you know, prisoner of war. Humiliation, I reckon we'll call it a man. Because never mind if they were Germans, that I was just as terrible, you know.
A humiliation.
Well, to me, that's the way I looked upon it. I was an ordinary sort of fella as they came out, but to me it was. I never. We remained civilians, you see what I mean? Some have turned into soldiers, as you say, but most of us were civilians. We came in, we'd done the same jobs that we had to do, and so. But we remain civilians in our minds. It's the same as treatment of people. You see my meaning? You wouldn't treat somebody like mine if they was German or whatever it is. If it was a kid looking for a bottle in a burning building or something like that, you go and find it for them, you know. From there. They might know that they blew up next minute. That's too bad, but, you know, that's the way we were. It didn't change that a lot, see.
Did you see any French civilians?
Oh, yes, yes. Not too many, mind, because I think they resented the fact a bit that it was doing what we were doing to their beautiful country, because that was really untouched by the war. In reality, it's no good beating about the bush. I don't think they suffered down in the Normandy district enough. You know, it's that different. We're talking about Cali and those sort of places on the coast and that. I don't think it was more like a country place. They were used to having soldiers billeted there, and that was it. You know, they built defences naturally, but I think the reality was that and I don't think they've ever forgiven it. Tell the truth, not only there, other places as well, because we went to, you know, when I only been back to Normandy once, and you could see, you know, the different Holland now, different chalk and cheese. Those people suffered, but they suffered in certain parts of France, but. I didn't agree with a lot of things I seen when we crossed the storm, cutting off air and all that business. I mean, war is war, and life goes on, doesn't it?
Right. Tom O'Brien, end of reel 4.